ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 57। कीर्तिमन्तं प्रथमजम्, कीर्तिमन्तं प्रथमजम् कंसायानकदुन्दुभी अर्पयामास कृच्छ्रेण, अर्पयामास कृच्छ्रेण सोनृतादतिविह्वलः। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Vasudev was very much disturbed by fear of becoming a liar by breaking his promise. Thus with great pain he delivered his firstborn son named Kirtiman into the hands of Kamsa. Purport. In the Vedic system, as soon as a child is born, especially a male child, the father calls for learned brahmanas, and according to the descriptions of the child's horoscope, the child is immediately given a name. This ceremony is called Nama Karana. There are 10 different samskaras or reformatory methods adopted in the system of Varnashram Dharma, and the name giving ceremony is one of them. Although Vasudeva's first son was to be delivered into the hands of Kamsa, the Nama Karana ceremony was performed, and thus the child was named Kirtiman. Such names are given immediately after birth. Kirtimantam, by the name Kirtiman. Prathamajam, the firstborn. Kamsaya, Anakadundubi, Arpayamasa. Vasudev is known as Anaka and Dundubi. Basically, these are two musical instruments, Anaka and Dundubi. They're like drums. Why would someone be called by the name of a musical instrument? I'd ask this question to Nityanand Prabhu, our resident and non-resident scholar doing his Sanskrit studies. He said in one book it is mentioned, or maybe some Puran which they studied, as soon as Vasudeva was born, the demigod started playing these instruments, knowing his very special position. So Vasudeva is not an ordinary person. It's like they already knew. Sometimes it is said in English, your fame follows you. But here, fame precedes you. Before even you are doing something, people are knowing this is a very special birth. How happy Krishna is to be called Vasudev, the son of Vasudev. So knowing this, the demigod started playing these instruments and he himself became famous as Anakadundubi. The word Krichrena, Prabhupada gives a meaning here, with great pain. Prabhupada's purport just talks about the Namakaran ceremony and its importance. And what I'm trying to focus today is on a very small but significant point, and that is Vasudeva is fearful of being called a liar or being unfaithful to his promise before someone like Kamsa. So the premise or the statement which I would like to begin this small discussion today is whether it is important for devotees to be popular among rascals. Should we even bother about them? Some of you might not be regularly reading Prabhupada's books, so this title statement may upset you as to why devotees call so-called non-devotees as rascals. In fact, to be honest, from my school days and college days, I never heard this word used so frequently. In some old English literature book, maybe by Charles Dickens or Walter Scott, you might have this kind of word coming, rascal. I mean, raise your arm if you were called a rascal by someone in your school days or whatever. It was just not there in our vocabulary. But Prabhupada was tutored in the old Victorian style in Scottish Church College, and before that the Matilal Shil School. He knew very well what it means. And Prabhupada would lump together fools and rascals. In fact, sometimes it's curious as to what exactly Prabhupada would denote by the term rascal. Sometimes he would say, they are so rascal, as if there are degrees of rascaldom. You know, this much is somebody, this much rascal, somebody this much rascal. And especially one of my major services to assist the BBD translation team in producing Marathi translation. So in Hindi and English, in Hindi and Marathi, it's a very difficult thing to translate fool and rascal together. The word sometimes is just mudha. And then I looked up in the folio and Prabhupada says, mudha means ass, fool, who doesn't know, animal. And fool and rascal together. There's an interesting story where Prabhupada on a morning walk conversation brought out something, and then he turned towards one of his disciples. He doesn't care who is there. Do you know the meaning? And he said, no. You don't know? He said, no. And there is some silence. And I think it was Harishori Prabhu, because he relates the story. Could be somebody else, but let's say he said, Srila Prabhupada, I don't exactly know, but I think, and Prabhupada came very heavy. He said, if you don't know, you are a fool. And when you don't know and then you speculate, then you are a rascal. One should not be foolish. He said, in the human form of life, one should not be foolish. And Prabhupada sort of saying, why should you remain a fool? You should ask Krishna to give you a guru. And it seems like Prabhupada is so innocently saying this, that anyone who desires to have a guru, Krishna arranges one. Normally we feel that somebody tried, he went to the Himalayas or the Sahyadri Mountains or the Vindhya Mountains, and going through various caves and caverns and rivers and valleys, and afterwards he came to a guru. Prabhupada said, no. Till the time you think I can discover the truth on my own, Krishna hides the guru. And when you say, I am helpless, please, I need some guidance. So Krishna sees that small speck of sincerity and immediately arranges for a meeting with the guru. Incidentally, two of Prabhupada's disciples, the earliest ones, Prabhupada came by Jaladuta. It's piered at Boston Commonwealth Pier. And the boat, when it came back to India, these two devotees, later they became devotees, these two young people, that same boat they took back to India. For 1 year, Prabhupada was traveling. He was in somebody's homes. He was in Boston. He was in Butler, Pennsylvania. 1 year, no success. He was trying very hard. These people spent months in India from Haridwar till Ganga Sagar, they went everywhere. And then they frustrated, they came back. And one of them was walking along the street and Prabhupada was there. He saw Prabhupada, Prabhupada saw him, he stopped, Prabhupada stopped. And he immediately, as soon as the traffic subsided, he came over and said, "Are you from India?" Prabhupada said, "Yes." "And you?" He said, I am from America. Where else can I be from?" "So what do you do here?" He had seen saffron robes, he had seen sannyasis. "So what do you do here?" He said, I hold classes." He said, "Can I come?" Prabhupada said, "Yes, and bring your friends." After hearing Prabhupada, they relate to him that, "We have just come from India." And Prabhupada said, "How did you go to India?" He said, this took this boat." And he said, "It's amazing. I spent all this time in India and I couldn't find a single person who, you know, could touch my heart or could answer my questions. In fact, Hai Guru Prabhu, that's what his name became. He said, the only experience I had in India was those who knew were Maunis, those who didn't know were speaking. So how do I sort out this situation?" At that time Prabhupada said, "You don't need to search for a guru. You need to have a desire to surrender to Krishna, and Krishna arranges to send a guru." He said, "Just because you had this sincerity, Krishna sent me all the way from India." So, fools and rascals. So one should not remain a fool and one should never be a rascal that is trying to speculate. Here, Vasudev is facing in front of him someone like Kamsa. Just in the previous verses it is said, Vasudeva's mind was full of anxiety because his wife was facing danger. But in order to please the cruel, shameless and sinful. Three things. He's cruel, he's shameless, nrishamsam, nirapatrapam. He was, nrishams is a very strong word, most cruel. And nirapatrapa, shameful, shameless. And sinful. He cannot be satisfied with pleasing words, appeasement, or with threats. Vasudeva tried both. He said, "She's your sister, she's like your daughter, she should be protected. Don't do like that." At that time, Kamsa's mind was obsessed with only one thing. No. She could be. Not that she will kill me. She's a woman. What she can do? But she's going to give birth to children and they are going to kill me. And what is one of them is going to kill me? So when Vasudev saw that nothing seems to work with him, we see Shukdev Goswami relating Vasudeva's mindset. Like in a previous ashram class, we had this discussion. Why should we remain honest? I mean, at that time, somebody could think that Vasudev could have just, seen the whole situation, rallied some forces, asked for some friends. If Kamsa is like that, gang up on him and bash him up. What is the need for, beginning statement, what is the need for devotees to be honest in front of sinful people like Kamsa? Aren't we justified? I did a small search on the folio. If you say cheat, devotee cheating, if you put these two words, the few results which come up. And the first one, Prabhupada says, actually a devotee never cheats anyone. And I was surprised. How can you say that? Sometimes you see, we have devotees, Prabhupada's statement that devotees cheat for a higher cause. And there Prabhupada gives the explanation. And it made so much of sense. I was having this kind of a doubt. that what did Vasudev gain in the whole episode? Just imagine you are getting married today, you are so happy. On the day of your marriage, your wife is about to be slaughtered right in front of you. The person who has taken the reins of the chariot, such a big show of affection, Kamsa made in front of the crowd, that, oh, just see, the brother himself is taking. That also is a custom. Prabhupada explains that the brother does this so that the sister doesn't feel so much of separation. Now in those times, or at least in some other times also, maybe this is the first time the girl is leaving her home. As a princess, Devaki had temples and everything within the palace courtyard. There is practically no reason why she should be going out. And even if they do, they go in a palanquin, they are covered. But now she has left her parents' home and she's going to her husband's house. So that is seen as a very significant event in the life of a girl, young married woman. And just to assuage, just to help her ease with this separation, impending separation, the brother comes, her maid servants come. At that time, she's about to be killed. It was not some kind of a threat. When Prabhupada was instructing devotees to paint, he actually pointed out that Kamsa had his sword out. It was not like he was talking some kind of threat. He was just about to make her head roll off. So at that time, Vasudev, what finally worked? Vasudev said, don't kill her. I will deliver every newborn child. You don't worry about it. Do you feel the child can kill you? Of course, Kamsa knew the child when he grows up. A newborn, young person can kill me. A newborn can never be a threat. So Vasudev is true to his word. And that's what we are trying to find out. Why does he remain true to his word? Ritam means truth. Anritam means untruth. It's a very commonly used word, Srimad Bhagavatam. Ritam. Sarvam etad ritam manye. Arjuna is telling Krishna, I accept everything what you say as the truth. And Vasudev especially is a person, just like Yudhishthira Maharaj, very much rooted in truth. I am aware of stories where acharyas have engaged thieves for stealing somebody's money, and like we have this Tirumangai Alvar story from the south, actually recruiting thieves for raising funds. Keeping that story as a, like, on one side, on one hand, how do we relate to Prabhupada's instructions that our dealings have to be very clean, our dealings have to be very honest? So before we come to the main point, that should devotees strive to become popular among fools and rascals, or among demons. Before that, the point is, we should be honest in our dealings with each other. Only then we can talk in terms of a higher principle, where we are honest in dealings with the rest of the world. And there could be so many people like that. There is a historical background to this. Now, this is a true thing, it is part of our history, that Srila Prabhupada said, distribute by my books. And then he liked this poetical way of rendering it, by hook or by crook. So it became a very popular thing among devotees, by hook or by crook, distribute Prabhupada's books. So what was the hook? And should we really be crooked? So at one point of time, when we were just saying that, just go out and distribute these books. There are a few conversations where Prabhupada says, just like a mother sees that her child is sick. So she says, you take this medicine and then I'll give you a laglu or a laddu. A laglu is a thick condensed milk sweet, Bengali sweet. So Prabhupada says, when the child takes the medicine, the mother just doesn't give the sweet. So is that cheating? Prabhupada says, in one way it can be called cheating, but actually she cares for his health. Therefore she doesn't give. Not that she doesn't give eternally. After the health is all right, she again gives. One thing which, very insignificant thing, but it remains in my mind. One devotee in Japan was distributing books to a businessman. Now this is a regular occurrence I have heard in Tokyo and some major cities, that at past 11:30 at night, most businessmen you see on the road are like heavily drunk. But somehow this man was able to talk. This devotee at that time was distributing books. So he said, oh, very nice, I met you. And then about he was fumbling, trying to bring out his wallet. So he got some money, gave it. In that process, his wallet fell out. So this devotee picked it up and he walked away. It was thick, wad, full of banknotes. So then he did something which was unnatural, at least in the 70s. In the 70s, the mood was, take that money, this man is going to use it for his sense gratification, going to hell. Take it, give it to Krishna, use in Krishna's service. But this was the late 80s, he did something else. He actually stopped him and gave it back. And he said, oh, you are so honest and you are so nice, and you know, even in that inebriated state, he could understand that this man is not a mere salesman. Surprisingly, many stalwart devotees, many people who had seen this atmosphere of the 70s, they appreciated this. Why is that? Because at one point of time, when devotees feel that I can talk to anyone, like this statement is from the BTG magazine, maybe early 70s. A man stops a Hare Krishna heavyweight leader at that time, a sannyasi at that time, and he said, why do you bother me to give money? I mean, it's my money and I'm having it. Why you bother me? You can't imagine now the answer what he gave, which was an alright answer at that time. He said, I am Krishna's taxman. How dare you challenge my right to ask money from you? You're like, oh, my goodness. I don't think anybody will give that kind of a reply now. Things have changed. The first time devotees came to Vrindavan, Prabhupada said, Vrindavan, the Brajbasis are all Krishna conscious. Purely Krishna conscious. They respect devotees. Surprisingly, some Western devotees would go to Halwai's sweetmeat shops and say, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So, one Brajavasi came to Prabhupada and said, I heard you brought some thieves from the West. Or something like that. It came in Prabhu's book. Prabhupada said, what happened? He said, you people are just going all over the market, just taking what they want, thinking this is Krishna Lok. This is Krishna's own land. We are devotees, they are devotees. So what's the problem? So Prabhupada had told them that, hey, you know, you can't behave like that. Just see the opposite. If someone does this to you, will you like it? So that time they realized that there is some time for Golok Vrindavan yet. We have to And Rupa Goswami's direct order is there. One should not be neglectful in ordinary dealings for a sadhaka. On a more serious note, I'll finish this thing. Especially one devotee commented, in the 70s, taking that person's money would have helped ISKCON because we needed money at that time for propagation. But our PR was not that good. We were not seen as people who are, you know, sort of contributors to society or whatever. Now that we have money, but if we put a full page ad in the newspaper saying that, hey, we are Hare Krishnas and we are very honest, it just backfires. It doesn't work like that. But one small gesture of giving somebody's money back, he said, this can earn more good name for Srila Prabhupada than any other thing. So, why Vasudev acts like that? The first step in understanding this is, he is under the internal potency of Krishna, of course. Krishna wants to give him the credit. Krishna wants to show to the world how my devotees are exemplary in their behavior. Not that he doesn't care. Not that Vasudeva didn't love his children. Of course he loved. Here it described, Ati Vivalaha. He was very much disturbed. He was pained. Krichrena. But at the same time, he was knowing that my name and sort of my fame and the fame of the Supreme Lord, they sort of go hand in hand. I need to protect that. Similarly, the Goswamis, especially Sanatana Goswami, Srila Prabhupada describes him in a bit particular way. It's described as dhira adhira jana priyo. Sometimes we feel, how can we be popular with, you know, non-devotees? But the fact is, Sanatana Goswami was. Prabhupada describes, even a husband-wife quarrel would come up to him. He says, they were not interested in his books. They were not interested in what he was writing. But a simple husband-wife staying in Braj would come to Sanatana Goswami and say, we are having this kind of problem. He said this and she said, he said that and he said, she said that. And Sanatana Goswami would say, okay, this is correct, you are wrong, settle it up. And you would be happy. So that was the respect he earned. By starting the Bhaktivedanta Institute, by meeting so many scholars on his own, Srila Prabhupada also seems to hint at this particular thing, that we need to make this message, we need to make Srila Prabhupada's giving this philosophy understandable to everyone. Just today morning, while doing Shringar, we were listening to a lecture, a conversation between a South African reporter and Srila Prabhupada. At that time, South Africa was having this kind of division between whites and non-whites. Strict segregation. The whole society was divided on the basis of bodily color. So he said, what do you have to say about this particular problem in South Africa? And Prabhupada says, South Africa, South India, North Africa, no problem. There's only one problem. This is something even a new person can understand. It's very attractive. Really? This world is having so many problems and Swamiji says there is only one problem. How is it possible? In fact, I remember I was having a small talk with Rasamrit Maharaj, Bhakti Rasamrit Maharaj. And I said, if there is only one problem in this world, why don't we just talk about this one problem all the time? He said, the problem is only one, but its facets are so many. All the time you can't say, at least now, the moment somebody starts giving a class saying that, so the only thing we need to learn is we are not this body. And I say, oh, all right, I know that already. Or if you say, here comes the whole thing again. Prabhu, we know this already. But it's not a question of knowing it. So that particular conversation, the reporter seems to say as to, but how this problem is going to solve everybody, how the solution is going to solve everybody else's problems. And Prabhupada makes a very simple thing. We don't expect everybody in the masses to understand it. And I was sort of surprised. I said, isn't our mission to go every town and village and every house and, you know, sort of hunt everybody down and make him a devotee? Give everybody kantimala, everybody beads. It's true. It need not be mutually exclusive. But the way in which it could happen, as Prabhupada says, few leaders, if they take up the process, the masses would be benefited, even if they don't follow it fully. Please try to understand this. People have sort of captured leadership of society. And who are they? You can read it in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna describes 4 people who don't come to me. Namam duskituno mudha prapadyante naradhama maya aprita jnana asuram bhavam ashrita. Practically today leadership is of these 4 quality people. Prabhupada describes mudha as really foolish people. Naradham is lowest of the mankind. Mayaya aparita jnana, he calls them learned fellows, scientists, politicians. And duskritini, those who are very much for hard work, but for the wrong purpose. Now, in order to talk to them, in order to at least make them understand this philosophy, my dear sir, you are not this body. Just see how difficult it is. It's much easier to go to some place where people are famished, they might be hungry, or they don't have clothes. I'm not saying it's not difficult, but it's relatively easier. You might just say, take this prasad, khichdi, halwa. They might do it because you're giving them food. I've heard devotees say all kinds of things. Jisko haath hai, wo haath upar karega. And people say, oh, I have hands. Or somebody who doesn't raise arms, you feel, jisko jiva hai, wo bolega. One who has tongue will speak. But when it comes to impressing people of, when we put ourselves in Vasudeva's situation, we are dealing with people who don't resort to threat, who will not be appeased by fear of hell in the next life, who won't have any shame for what they are doing. There is another method, again given by Acharya himself. Prabodhananda Saraswati said, I approach you and I say, oh, you are such a nice gentleman. Oh, you are a senator. Oh, you are a Nobel Prize winner. Oh, you are a MLA. Oh, you are a khasdar, you are a amdar, you are a jamindar, you are this, you are that. And you come from a very prominent lineage. You have such estate here. Oh, you have 17 degrees. My goodness. Do you even remember those alphabets? So that person may say, why are you flattering me so much? And Prabhupada said, flattery is something which everybody likes. The reason everybody likes is because it is untrue. Flattery puts you on a mode where you want to be. Flattery is never like real, for sure. And the other aspect of flattery is, the other person wants something from it. Praise is nishkam. Praise is not done with some desire. Praise is done wholeheartedly. But flattery is for a specific nefarious purpose. So Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur has given this formula where he says, I bow down to you. Not only I call you a sadhu, I have just described all your glorious things. I bow down to you hundreds of times. Now by this time, this person is really, really sort of feeling that this person appreciates me. What should I do? Sakala vihaya durat. Of course, that also is a tact. If you just say immediately, that may also backfire. But kaku shatam, I bow down before you hundreds of times. I flatter you. Please accept the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Vasudev is not trying to be a popular person in the minds of people who don't understand what he is doing. Many political leaders have tried and failed. Like I think few years ago, somebody asked, maybe an IIT student, I don't know. I think that name was taken. That if Kamsa was having this kind of say, doubt that my sister's child will be my killer, just keep both of them separate. Is it not? Just keep them in some separate prisons. Problem solved. The problem is, those demons were actually intelligent. They were powerful. They were thinking, if it is Vishnu who is going to come and he is going to kill me, better let me kill him. So once and for all, I solve the problems for me and everybody else. This thing of killing Devaki immediately was like an impulse. It immediately came up. When someone like Vasudev promised him, he said, oh, if someone of your stature is promising, I believe you. Now we see Vasudev acting like a gentleman. And actually, see, if you want, there is one simple thing. If you don't give something a name, you're not personally attached to it. It's human logic. Look at anything. Once there is a name, there is a lot of bonding. In fact, I had read one American journal telling farmers, don't name your cows. So most people, they just have their ears punched and there is a number there. Because when you give cow a name and when she is sent to slaughter, you will feel very heartbroken. This is today's logic. But animals do respond to names. Human beings, of course we want a name. Even if somebody shortens our name, we get angry. Is it not? We say, my name is so and so. Spell it properly. Pronounce it properly. So here he knew that this boy is about to die. Or what? Who knows what can happen. But still he conducts the name Namakaran ceremony, Prabhupada says here. Gives him a name, Kirtiman. Kirtiman means one who has Kirti. And is now going to the palace of Kamsa. Just to assure you, Vasudeva is saying, just to assure you that I am not a person who will go back on his word. In fact, the next words, which we should see tomorrow. What is painful for saintly persons who strictly adhere to the truth? How could there not be independence for pure devotees who know the Supreme Lord as a substance? What deeds are forbidden for persons of the lowest character? And what cannot be given up for the sake of the Lord? What cannot be given up for the sake of Lord Krishna by those who have fully surrendered at his lotus feet? So this is the tension. What level Kamsa cannot go down? There is no level that he cannot go down. Because he is so much interested in his own selfish desires. What level persons like Vasudev cannot rise? Beyond mundane morality, beyond the sense of preserving something what you have, beyond the sense of self-protection. Why? Because you are fully surrendered. So here is someone, one can go down to the depths of selfishness, one can rise to the highest levels of selflessness. Just to bring out these good qualities, this kind of behavior is actually engineered by Lord Krishna. So coming to the main point, why should we strive to be popular? Not that mundane popularity means anything to us. In fact, it's just the opposite. If 100 non-devotees say you are such a Mahatma and the Vaishnava society condemns you, you are worthless. And if the Vaishnava society is with you, while outside people say you are a crook or a criminal or this or that, outside things change like the weather, like the high tide and the low tide. But at the same time, for the sake of preaching to them and reclaiming fallen souls from them, that is the only reason why devotees need to be popular among outside society. Nityananda Prabhu's logic Prabhupada uses in one lecture, and that's where we'll end today. He said, Lord Chaitanya has come to deliver people who are actually the most fallen. And people are advising me, these two brothers, Jagai and Madai, we should stay away from them because they are vicious killers. This is sound logic. Just avoid them. He uses the reversal of that logic, that if they are the most fallen, they should be the first recipients of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And of course we see in that painting over there, how he took that blow. The first blow, and Madai was normal. He had hit so many people before that. He had murdered people. What to speak of hitting them? Probably this was the mildest reaction from Madai. No, that somebody comes and talks to him. Just hit him with that liquor pot. Falling on the ground, Markheye Premade Eman Doyalto Naire. Falling on the ground, and he's saying, now that you had your wish, you did what you wanted to do, at least once chant. And this, surprisingly, melted the heart of Jagai. So that's how we can understand that although we know that Srila Prabhupada used to say that, you know, we don't need to even see the faces of these kind of people. Once Prabhupada saw Time magazine in somebody's hands, and big leader had fallen from his post, and Prabhupada said, we should not even look at these faces. So it seems as if we should be in our own sort of cocoon, protected. We see only Vaishnavas every day and we are very happy. Oh, I'm happy to see you. But the purpose for which our acharyas have started this society is actually to go out, follow the lead of Vasudev. Individually, we may not be in that position that we may be so scrupulously honest. But this is our North Star. This is our ideal. And the only thing they do engage in this kind of behavior is to make the Lord more famous. Because why the Lord makes this kind of makes these devotees behave? He wants to give them the credit. That is what Srila Prabhupada explains. Hare Krishna, I'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Comments?
Thank you, Prabhu. You are mentioning this nice point about Vasudev dealing very honestly with Kamsa, and that's the true north for us. And you are also mentioning in the class that to be honest with outsiders, first we have to be honest amongst devotees. And we have also heard Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying that Vaishnava means saraltha, simplicity. And Prabhupada defines simplicity as somebody who can even speak the truth to an enemy. You know, you are very honest and straightforward. So if we lead our life centered around principles, we are honest in dealings, that's very good. At the same time, some devotees have this experience that when we are honest and straightforward, our devotional service may be affected, at least in the immediate, temporary, immediate short term or whatever. We can see that our services may be affected and we may not get so many services. But if you are diplomatic and we try to appease all parties, and we may feel something, but we may just, to be popular, we may subscribe to some opinion. And when we do that, although it's not from the heart, it's not actually based on principles, our devotional services will go on smoothly. So how do we reconcile this to what should be the standard for a devotee?
This was a discussion many years ago. I don't know if that is completely related to what you are saying, that you are saying that our service may be affected. Devotees started using various kinds of techniques for attracting people's attention on the street one popular thing was that like somebody may having, of course people carry money, so do you have 100 rupees change? So you said, oh well, yes. So you bring out 100 rupees and the man, I want tenors or 20. So 10 rupee notes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then actually you give him back 90 rupees, saying that, and take this book. So you say, well, you said, you know, change, I had some change. And why should I take this book? I don't need this book. Then you talk about the book, oh, it's just only 10 rupees, and you know, what's the problem? So this is a mild version. There are many, many other versions where devotees have done this kind of thing. And then they would come in the temple and they would talk to each other about how it is easy to, you know, cheat those karmis over there. Now, what the immediate result of this was, book distribution soared up, or sometimes fundraising. You may go to somebody's place and say that, you know, if you become a member, you know, any city of the world you go will have rooms for you. The moment you tell our temple that we have arrived, a car will come and pick you up. And what not. Now our rooms remain the same, but our members zoomed from a few hundred to thousands and thousands and thousands. And it had to stop somewhere. So when devotees used to come together and discuss how, oh, you cheated him like that? Wait till you hear from me what I did. The moment they came to understand each other's greatness in this kind of thing, sooner or later we stay in a community or we almost bump into each other every day. The next time somebody says, if you want some good advice, why don't you go to him? You say, he's a big cheater. I know the way he cheats outsiders. What's the guarantee that he won't do the same thing with me? So, diplomacy works once or twice. But if you get your fame or infamy as a diplomat, it works against you throughout your life. So it is better that, at least now we are talking strictly of devotee interactions, it's better that somebody cheated you and you learned a lesson in simplicity, rather than be known for being diplomatic or cheating, those kind of things. It also works against the whole grain that the moment devotees engage in diplomacy, it is a slur, it is a slap on the face of Krishna. I'm using a very strong word. Why? Because as if Krishna is having a shortage of resources. He can only give this to one person and he can't give this to the other. Where comes the faith that, like Giriraj Maharaj once said in the Pune Yatra, and it's like so inspiring. He said, first of all, realize that Krishna is unlimited. He said, what do you mean by that? Krishna's necessity for someone serving him is unlimited. How many times Krishna can eat? More times than what he can offer. How many garlands Krishna can take in a day? More than all the flowers in the entire material creation. How many praises Krishna can bear till everybody's throat croaks up? His Uttama Shlok, 8th canto, 4th chapter, Shukdev Goswami says, somebody can successfully count the atoms in this material creation, but he cannot count Krishna's transcendental qualities. So there is no end to praise, there is no end to offering, there is no end to seva. So Krishna himself is unlimited, the resources which Krishna's desire is unlimited. And Maharaj added the last point is, and the resources which are available are also unlimited. So why worry? This fellow got a chance to sing, this fellow got a chance to lead, this fellow got a chance to speak, this fellow got a chance to go in this area first and he is respected as a pioneer or whatever. There's a whole material creation available. And even if you don't get something here, this whole thing is like a dream anyway. Your real seva starts there when you go back to the real world. This is just a practice time. Just like when teams are practicing for a game, you don't immortalize the score. It was a practice thing anyway. But here what is it? Even the real scores are illusory. The real score starts when you are having a body which has no material mode control over it. So that was very inspiring, that Krishna's desire for someone to serve him is unlimited. His necessity that people should serve him is unlimited. You can serve him. There are opportunities to serve are unlimited. And the resources available for serving him are also unlimited. So there is no need for any kind of behavior where you say, I first and you next. So once somebody is convinced of that, there is no question of any diplomacy and there is no question of any other thing resultant out of that. Hope it helps. I'm sorry for going over time. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.